Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada, and we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going through verses 5 and 6 in the first chapter of the book of Joshua. And today, Pastor Brian picks up where he left off, speaking about the blessing of knowing that you're called by God to the specific ministry that you're in. So now let's go to Pastor Brian from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
And that is a wonderful thing to have in knowing this is what God has asked me to do. Whether it's in a ministry, you know, full-time like God's called me to, or a task that he's given to in the church, or a ministry that he's given you into the church, if he's appointed you to that, he is going to bear fruit through your life for that. And I can stand again here today with a confidence. Not because I have some ability to speak to people or move people, but because I know I'm counting on the power of God's Spirit to take the words that he's placed in my heart to impact your life. Even to the point where God's impacting the very secret parts of your heart that I know nothing about. That's where my confidence is for the Lord to speak to you. And sometimes people say, it's like you're reading my mind, you're following me around. And I know that's the Holy Spirit confirming that he's called me to teach God's Word. Plus the 50 spies that we hired last year to watch their lives, and then I analyze all the data. I want to read to you something from a book I've already read from. This is from Alan Redpath, and he did a commentary in the book of Joshua. And he writes in such a simple, straightforward fashion, but it's like, boom, there's a power in it. I want to read a couple paragraphs from this about knowing the call of God and giving you the confidence that you need to continue on in the things of God. It says, Joshua knew perfectly well that Canaan was infested by 1,000 foes. He knew that every inch of advance would be contested by the enemy. But a man assured of the call of God is invincible. Certainly, he is very conscious of his deficiencies. He is aware of all the walled cities in the land and of the broad river that he has to cross before he gets there. He knows something of the ridicule and the criticism which are forever the portion of those who would dare to stand for God. But looking away from all these things to the revealed purpose of God, he gives himself utterly and completely to be a channel through which the divine will may be worked out. The next paragraph goes on to say, therefore, in relation to any duties which you would undertake for God, I want to say very earnestly that the supreme question is not, are you qualified, but are you called? Are you grasping for position, or are you called of God? Answer that to the Lord in his presence. Nothing is more important in your life than the answer to that question. See, when you're involved in ministry, you know, God's appointed you to that task. You don't really worry about the fruit that's going to be born. You're confident in it. But if you've appointed yourself, and you fought to get to that position, and you coveted that position, and now you have it, now you're the one that's going to have to sustain that ministry, and what you're worried about is more your reputation. Hey, if this fails, I'm going to look like a fool. And so now you scrap and do all these things in the flesh to keep this thing propped up. But if the Lord is in this, he's called me to it, your confidence is utterly in him to perform the task and to bear fruit and to impact people's lives. And Joshua, he has an impossible task to cross over the Jordan that's at the flood stage and then go in and fight 7 enemies that are much more mightier than him. How is he going to do that other than God said, go for it. This is what I've appointed you to do. Don't worry about the enemy. No one's going to be able to stand against you. And we need to know of that in the ministries and the things that God has called us to do. And he will fight on our behalf. Let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. The second point, not only is the victory is promised, but God's presence is promised as well. He says, for as I was with Moses there in verse 5, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And that's what you want to know. Is God in this? Is God's presence among me in the work that he's called me to do? Is he bearing fruit? Is he touching people's lives? Is the Lord in this, or is this some program that I keep running? God's presence is in it. You have nothing to worry about. No matter what opposition may come against you, what difficulty you may face, you have the presence of the Lord to fight on your behalf and to supply you with everything that you need. You lack wisdom, he says, ask. He lacks power, he has the presence of the Holy Spirit among us to flow through us. Whatever we need, God will supply with his very presence. Now, I want you to turn one book back, just a few chapters, Deuteronomy chapter 31. And once again, just like we saw in the first point, These words are a repetition of somewhere else in the Bible. And in Deuteronomy chapter 31, look at verse 7 and 8. This isn't the first time Joshua has heard these words. He said them himself, and now before Moses dies, Moses is going to say the same thing to Joshua, the Lord is going to be with you. Look at verse 7. It says that Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Have you seen that anywhere else? It's all through Joshua chapter 1, three times. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give to them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. That's what we saw in verse 6 of chapter 1. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I mean, how many times does God have to say something before we get it through our thick skull that that's what He means? Now, what I want you to see here, because I believe this will be true today, what I am saying today is to try to encourage you to have confidence in the Lord, to do the ministry that God has already called you to. And I believe that there's some here, you know that God's called you. God's already spoken these things into your heart. In that secret part of your heart, God said, this is what I want you to do. But for one reason or another, you're reluctant to do that. You have been dismayed. You have lacked courage. You haven't been strong in the Lord, and you've resisted that. So God is once again going to call to you through the pulpit, through a teaching of God's Word, publicly, although you are the only one that knows that He's speaking to you on this subject. He's trying to confirm the very things that small, still voice has spoken to you already. Because I admit, we're slow to believe that God would speak to me and say, I want to use you. That's not the Lord, and we doubt that. And oftentimes, the way the Lord works, He repeats Himself over and over and over again, doesn't He? Because we're slow to get it. We're slow to really believe that He would use our life. And so, He speaks through Moses. Now God speaks directly to Joshua. And I believe the Lord has spoken to you already. He's called you to certain things, and you've just been slow to respond. You've been fearful. You've been dismayed. You've been discouraged. Or you just lack the confidence in the Lord to step out in faith. And so now, God is wanting to state it a little bit stronger. This happens to me all the time. I'll be thinking on things and praying about things, and I'll turn on the radio and I'll hear sermons, or someone will give me a tape, and it's the very things that I've been pondering in my heart, and it helps confirm the fact, yeah, this is the Lord. This is what the Lord wants. I'm not just going by my own emotions or my own desires. This is the Lord speaking to me, and I know that God is going to speak to people at the first service, the second service, and the third service, that He's already called you. He's already said, I want you to step out, but you haven't done so. You've been slow to, and now the Lord is saying, I'll be with you. I won't leave you nor forsake you. I won't get you halfway involved in that ministry and then depart from you and you're on your own and you're going to flounder. God will be there and supply you with the things that you need. And listen to me, there's no way for you to know that except by experience. It's God's Word that says it, and we hold on to that and we believe it. But how do you know God supplies? How do you know God's strength will work through you? How do you know God will give you wisdom? You find yourself in situations where you need His strength, you need His wisdom, you need His grace, and God meets you there. And when is He going to supply that? When you need it. Tomorrow. Need wisdom tomorrow? It's not coming today. See, we want to say, God, give me the wisdom, give me the strength, give me all the love that I need, then I'll go out and do it. And God says, no, you step out, and I will be strong in your behalf. I'll be your helper. I'll be with you. And whatever you need at that moment, I'll be right there. That's where